Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Arlene Cohen.
And our hair
looks really horrible today.
Absolutely horrible. My hair's a wreck. You're also listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for people who stab ground cloth with needle and thread, with needles. Stab repeatedly, and this is one of those days where I'm stabbing anything I can get a hold of. Trust me that. So the horrible hair thing, because I'm sure several people haven't heard, you must listen to Vonna Pfeiffer's The Twisted Stitcher, her most recent FlossTube video. Arlene, I got to tell you, if I'd had a mouthful of my favorite beverage, Diet Pepsi, when she started her show out by saying, "My hair looks absolutely horrible today," I would have spewed it all over my screen. She cracks me up. And her hair was fine. She just had it pulled up, you know.
She's a beautiful person inside and out.
Oh, she is. She's the best. But that was so funny. My hair looks absolutely horrible today. What? I mean, it was the second thing out of her mouth was that. It was so funny. I just Wanna died. Yep. So, okay. And then speaking of Vonna, now, if you've watched any of Vonna's how-to videos, you know that she, as she says, she has to have the corners. Like when you sew something and then you reverse it out, then you have to use the bamboo corner poker outer tool.
Absolutely.
Yep. And
that's to be found in the dictionary, corner poker outer. You can absolutely find that in the dictionary.
Right there. Yep.
Yep. Yep.
That's right. Yep. And and at Joann's, you find that in the quilting section, not in the sewing notions section.
And you use a coupon when you're buying it, by the way. Just to let you know.
Some of us do. Some of us have no idea how to use that, but yes. Okay. And if you have no idea, you call Arlene and she will help you save money. That's how it works. But yes, the plastic one that you find in the sewing notions section, do not use that because it's sharp pointed, has an edge to it, and it will damage your work. You use the bamboo one that is over in the quilting section. And endorsed by Vonna Pfeiffer, the Twisted Stitcher. So, and as Vonna says, those corners need to be squared and poked out and pointed, or it makes her nervous. Well, it turns out, listening to Bendy, Michelle Garrett, Bendy,
but we could just call her Bendy.
Now as just Bendy, yes. Cher, you know, Bendy, just goes by one word. Vonna Corners has become a thing. They're just called Vonna Corners.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think everyone should aspire to Vonna Corners when they are doing their own finishing. We could aspire to it. I don't know if we could achieve it, but we could certainly hope for it.
But yes, according to Bendy, that's now a thing. Is to have, if you look at a finished piece, does it have Vonna corners? Which then puts a scenario in my head where you go to your average finisher, okay? Not your Vonna, but your average finisher. And, okay, I want red gingham for the backing. Okay, fine. That's fine. I can get that. And then I want my cording on the edges to match these two colors in the, you know, in the, you know, in the Lizzie Kate small, because I want a little pillow. Okay, fine. You can, you know, the finisher's checking these things off on the list. And then, and I want Vonna corners. Okay. Well, that's extra. You know, that's $20 extra for Vonna corners.
I could see that. Sure.
Yeah. So that's the thing. So when you have stuff finished with anyone, then you ask for Vonna corners. Yes.
I like that idea. I think I think that would be Vonna approved.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Yes. Yeah. Vonna, who has now become an amazing quilter too. Yes.
Absolutely. She even gets up like in the middle of the night and whips out a quilt like in no time. So that's pretty impressive on its own.
Well, that's just not being able to sleep. I relate to that.
Sure.
But what was it this morning? We're recording Tuesday. She was up. She posted she was up this morning. She made at least a couple batches of cookies, some to freeze, some to eat. And Ellie sent her daughter Ellie to school with some to share with her lunch table friends. Mm-hmm. And then she made dinner. And something
potatoes ready for the dinner.
Yeah.
And yes, there was a whole thing. And then she was heading down to the cave to start working on finishing. And my favorite comment that I saw somebody had posted is, man, I'm lucky if I just put my underwear on the correct way.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. She had moved small mountains before 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
amazing. Yeah, she's the best. The Twisted Stitcher. Yep, go watch her videos. How to finish things. And if you need something finished, hey, send them to Vanna. She'll fix you up. It's good stuff. Yep, she's the best. Traveling. I have to talk. I was in last week, as I think I said, I was in Europe, in Germany all week, 6 days at a conference in Germany. And traveling to Europe is not my favorite thing because I do not do well with the time change.
Yeah. Yep.
It just makes a wreck of me. And I'm sure Europe would be a real treat if I could get adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
I did not sleep a decent night till the next to the last night before we came home. Mm-hmm. And then I slept like a rock. And then I was mad because, you know, I'm ready to come home and I finally sleep. And it's like, ugh. And of course, I'm sitting in conferences all day long and taking notes and listening to these guys because it's content for the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, toothpicks in the eyelids, you know, because, pumping down caffeine, anything, you know. And, you know, and that's just it. You're pumping caffeine all day to stay awake and then you can't sleep at night. Yeah, I wonder why. So anyway, when I flew over and back, I had economy premium on American. And I don't know what that equates to on others, but I had economy premium. I had a bulkhead seat. Mm-hmm. So in other words, I had room to stretch out.
Oh, okay.
I had room side to side. I had room to stretch out. And the seats have footrests that come up to about a 45-degree angle. Very mm-hmm. comfortable. Very comfortable.
Nice.
Okay, so I knew I could stitch.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that the flight home, I had to fly home. Well, I was going to fly home to Charlotte because I threw to Charlotte and then to Frankfurt. And then the return, of course, was back through Charlotte. Well, with the hurricane coming, I figured I wouldn't get through Charlotte and I couldn't afford work-wise to stay another day in Europe. Mm-hmm. And so I changed it to Dallas. Well, to fly home to Dallas is a 10-hour flight plus from Frankfurt. So anyway, I knew that I would have stitching time. What I forgot about is that flying over there, it would have been incredibly rude for me to stitch because I would have had my light out and people are trying to sleep because some people are able to sleep going over so that they wake up and can function that day. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. So I realized I probably couldn't stitch going over because I didn't want the light to wake people up, you know, especially as I moved the canvas.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to stitch going back and then stitch for a few hours in the hotel room while I was there. So anyway, what I did was, all right, I need a project and I'm working on Sarah Brazier. The sampler, well, that's those are 3 foot scroll rods.
Yeah.
That's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to, it's all ironed out and it's on scroll rods. So I don't want to take it off and put it in hoops.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. And plus that's a gigantic 36 by 36 inch piece of linen. That's not, I'm not hauling that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other the needlepoint stuff I had was too big. So, all right, I need a smaller piece.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my friend Missy Taphorn in a clean out had given me some Debbie Rowley charts, and I'll take any Debbie Rowley chart because, you know, I just, Yeah. I love her work. I'll take them. No, I bought a boatload of them myself, but Missy had this one that she said, I'll never stitch this. Do you want it? Yeah, I want it. It was one of her Glitz and Glamour series, which are five inch by five inch pieces. Mm-hmm. So you have a 12 inch square canvas. And all, I think just about all silks and crinics and specialty threads. So, all right, that one I'll do. So I set myself up, got all the stuff together, and put it in my backpack. So I had that in my backpack along with my work stuff, and headed off to Europe. Well, of course, the question so many people ask when you travel, particularly to Europe, is what equipment can you take? And so I took my standard stuff because I have a standard setup that I take on the road. And I thought, you know, this will be a good test because it's something I haul all over the United States and think, you know, never have any trouble. So my standard setup is a supply of needles. I make sure I have needles so that you don't show up and have that experience. And then I have these little scissors where I think the blade, if the blade's 3/4 of an inch maybe, but they're the little plastic handled scissors you get for $7 at the counter in a needlework store.
Yep, a little tiny one.
Yeah. Yep. So if somebody takes those from me, so what? You know? Needle threader, and then I do not take my Tokabari or Chokabari or Bokabari, what is that? The laying tool. I don't take my metal laying tool because that's a long stiletto thing, and that's my favorite one. And that just looks like a weapon.
Yep.
And so I have this little 3-inch long wood laying tool. So I take that. And a tip, I was going to say pro tip, but I'm not, so I can't say pro tip. For laying tools, if you're traveling, go to your local pit store and get a foot of airline tubing for aquariums. And snip off an inch and slip that over the end of your laying tool point. And that will protect the point so it doesn't get broken. So there's your tip for the day right there. And you can get a foot of airline tubing for next to pennies. So I have that. And then I have my thread. And then I take my Case Creation lap stand. I was able to get that, take that apart and put it in my backpack. So I had everything in my backpack. It was great. So I get to Europe, which was not a problem because the check-in was in the U.S., and so I knew that wasn't a problem. But the real test was going to be in Frankfurt coming home. And because there's three levels of security before you actually get to a gate, which it's kind of, yeah, freaky. But they're quite thorough at the check-in. The scanning of the bags and stuff. Quite thorough. And to the point where I had my, and I'm TSA pre-checked all the time in the U.S., but I do not have that global entry thing. So I had to have my toiletries, my liquids, in a plastic bag, which I never do. So, and I didn't have a plastic bag, so I had to use the plastic bag that I keep my magnifier in. So, because I didn't have a plastic bag. So I had that, and the guy grabbed my toiletry stuff, shaving cream and that kind of thing. And in there I had a 3.5 ounce tube of Benadryl anti-itch gel. It says 3.5 ounces right on it, which is the size. And he pulls it out of the bag and he says, not permitted. And I said, really? And I'm not going to argue with these guys. You know, I mean, there's people walking around with machine guns. I don't argue. I said, really? I said, and I pointed. I said, 3.5 ounce. And he said, no, not permitted. I said, okay, fine. Throw it away. Whatever. So, I mean, they're that thorough. And I thought, and then when my backpack goes through, I'm waiting for it, and it gets shuttled off to the side for a hand inspection. I thought, okay, here goes the needle and thread. You know, here we go. Here goes the scissors, you know, the whole thing. Nope. Went right through everything. He didn't even look. He just rubbed that cloth or whatever it is that I think checks for gunpowder residue around the edges, and he says, you're fine, thank you. So I got made the full round trip to Germany and back with those scissors, and you know, it's a long way of saying all of that stuff worked.
Okay.
And so yeah, so for, you know, your mileage may vary, but in my instance there, those little scissors got through and nobody even flinched. So and I'm confident I would have lost the metal laying tool.
Oh sure.
Yeah. But the little wood stub probably doesn't even show up on the X-ray. So, and then 10-hour flight, I get a bulkhead seat again, this time against the window, which is ideal. There's your ideal stitching spot right there, sports fans. Bulkhead in economy plus by the window. Just squirrel up in a corner. So we get on the plane, and I set up the lap stand. And just then the drinks and the lunch come. So, okay, well, and it had been a while since I'd had breakfast, so I had lunch, because I don't normally eat on planes unless I like really long flights like this. So I had lunch, and then got done and got out the needlework, and I'd done a little bit in the hotel room. And so for the better part of 8 hours, I just sat there in the plane and stitched in peace. It was wonderful.
Great. Now, did you even like have a movie playing, or were you just completely focused on the stitching?
Normally, I have the noise canceling headphones and and have the music going. But no, this time I just didn't feel like it. So I had no headphones on. I just sat and stitched in peace. And you know, the lady next to me was watching movies, and at one point between movies, she leaned over. She says, "What is that?" And I said, "Well, it's needlepoint, and you know, one of my favorite designers," and showed her the picture, which, if you're doing glitz and glamour opal, trust me, that picture is nowhere near as beautiful as the actual thing, not even in the same county. Oh man, Debbie Rowley nailed those threads, and they're really pale light, like opal. They're not my colors, but I got to say it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. And they're fun to stitch with and everything. And she says, "Oh, that's really beautiful." And that was all. She was just curious about that. So, and otherwise she didn't even, you know, she didn't bother me. She wasn't asking questions. I mean, I literally sat there for the better part of 10 hours and just stitched in peace.
And how much of this little, you know, 5-inch by 5-inch design did you get done in that time?
10%.
Okay.
Yeah, because you can't be, you know, sitting in an airplane seat, you can't be as efficient. You can't go as fast, you know. And but I didn't care. I was having fun. I was fine.
That's great. Great. Absolutely.
Yep. So for people who wonder what you can haul along, that's what I hauled along. That's what I got away with.
It feels like that question always comes up on the various Facebook groups of
going
on a trip. You know what? These days, what can you carry? What can you take with you? So it's always helpful to hear the actual stories. But then again, it feels like they can always vary. Somebody will say, "I was at this port, this airport, I got this through." And someone will immediately say, "Well, I was at such and such an airport and had that exact same thing and it didn't go through." So,
right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was my experience in Frankfurt on that day, period. So... So wanted to share that. And then, and I was wondering if you knew about this, how Harold Gable, the sharpening doc, who we've mentioned a few weeks ago, who will sharpen scissors, is apparently the go-to guy for having your needlework scissors sharpened. And did you know about this? He said there's some problem with Dovo scissors and the red handle.
I did not know about this at all. I don't even know. I own one pair of Dovo scissors. They're Hardanger ones. So they're like this special, very, very fine blade to, you know, get in and cut, like intended to cut the fabric threads when you're doing Hardanger.
Right.
But I am not familiar with what the red handles are.
He sent me this email, and I tried to look up the problem, and then I wrote to him and asked what the problem was, but he didn't respond in time for me to share it on this. But anyway, I'll just read what he says, because if you have this problem, he's willing to help. So he says, "One of your avid listeners and we have thousands of avid listeners, by the way, mm-hmm. was relating the problem that some of your listeners are experiencing and that you mentioned me on your broadcast. Well, we did. It's the red-handled Dovo scissors. The Dovo scissors I have worked with are older, and I have not observed that problem. But he doesn't describe what the problem is. The company most likely have changed their color formulation, and this fading and marring of canvas is the frustrating result. So apparently, whatever the problem is, it damages canvases. I don't really know. If one of your frustrated stitchers wants to send me a pair of the offending Dovo scissors, the only charge would be $12 to cover insurance and return shipping after my correction is or is not successful. I have some potential solutions in mind to correct this, and I'm hoping one of my ideas is key to correcting the dye problem. If that is the case, I would forward the results to you, meaning to us here at Fiber Talk, along with detailed steps to follow to correct for your followers to use, hopefully for their own scissors at home, at no charge. So he just share the solution. Needle pointing should be challenging, not and fun, not frustrating. So if you have a problem with red-handled Dovo scissors, whatever that is, number one, I'd sure like to know what the problem is, because I couldn't find it anywhere. And number two, send them to the sharpening doc. And he thinks he has a solution, and whether it works or not, it's just he's not going to charge you for the work. He's just going to charge you for shipping it back. So,
Well, now I really want to know what
I know.
Especially if somebody has offending Dovo scissors, you know.
Think about that.
That seems to be like an important thing that we should all know about. So yes, I certainly hope somebody out there is listening to this, is saying, oh my gosh, I have that problem. I'm going to be the person that's going to send to the sharpening doc, and the mystery will be solved for us.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Inquiring minds want to know.
Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely. So, So there we have it. The sharpening doc will help you out. And now you'd think I would be prepared and I would be able to say right here on the air the URL for the sharpening doc, but I did not write that down in my notes. So it'll be on the page for this podcast, so you can look it up that way. Mm-hmm. But Harold Gable is the guy. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you're going to send those in, send in your other scissors that are dull, and he'll sharpen them up for you and send them back. Once I became aware of him, rave reviews from all fronts for the work he does. So, I mean, that's where my scissors are going when I need them sharpened. Mm-hmm. Yep. This show on Wednesday, so the September 20th, tomorrow, Thursday, has been named Local Needlepoint Shop Day. And, sponsored by Destination Dallas, Debbie Woodard, who does the Painted Pony, canvases, and Destination Dallas, which just ended last weekend, I think. What's that?
This past weekend.
So localneedlepointshopday.com, creatively named, is where you can go. And then what you do there at that website is that they have by state all of the shops that are participating. And some of them describe what their event is. And so the newest needlepoint shop in Illinois, of course, I immediately go to Illinois to see who's doing what. And there was only one that offered what they're doing, and that was the shop called Two Needle Chicks in Libertyville, Illinois. New shop there. There I am again. See, a professional would have written down who the owners are, the two needle point chick. A professional would have done that. I did not do that. But I'm pretty sure it's Peggy and then someone else. So that's nice of me. Yeah. So sorry to the someone else, and hi, Peggy. So they're going to have, and I noticed this with some other shops, they're going to go the Thursday through Saturday. They're closed Sunday. They're going to have events in relation to this local needle shop point day. You say it. So they have a Destination Dallas reveal. All canvases and gift items brought back from their trip to Dallas will be there. A Funda Scully trunk show, 20% off all trunk show canvases, including special orders. Then they're going to have open stitching throughout the day. And then tomorrow from 6 to 8, I did not know this, my good friend Mary McGuire is going to teach a beginner level class from 6 to 8 tomorrow night. So if you're in Illinois, go see Mary. You know, tell her hi. And then Peggy, one of the owners, and then the other person who I don't know, on Saturday at 10:30 will be doing a beading technique class, and at 1:30, turkey work stitch, and those are both free. So that's pretty cool. Now, and so then the question I have is, does your local needlework store have something going on? Because yours is a pretty big store, right?
Well, yes, but, you know, it's interesting when you mention this to me, it really becomes a much bigger topic of the definition of local needlework store and what this, you know, this is geared toward stores that are going to Destination Dallas, or I shouldn't say geared toward. It's sponsored by Destination Dallas. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's predominantly a lot of painted canvas that is going on at Destination Dallas, a lot of needlepoint, and not so much the counted thread cross stitch world. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that I feel so there are a couple stores in New Jersey that I'm on their email list that I've been to once or twice. I have, you know, gotten myself on their email list. One in particular, which is called Knit One Stitch Two, which I would say is about 2/3 knitting, 1/3 needlepoint, and needlepoint being, you know, painted canvas and the threads that go with that. And so I've stopped in there a few times to for some specific threads. So I've certainly gotten some emails that was where I first saw it, was some emails of them, you know, participating. And there, what they had written in their emails was basically, we're participating in this, stop by, you know, food, and see the things we're bringing back from Destination Dallas. I mean, that was their, and also because they celebrate an anniversary of opening, I think it might be 5 or 6 years in September. So they've decided to turn this day into their anniversary day, at least for this year. And as I'm looking on this website right now, it now strikes me also, there's another store in New Jersey. Again, I've been to once or twice predominantly, although I think this one does have a little bit more beyond painted canvas, called the Nimble Needle. And I feel like I've seen maybe from them on Facebook a little bit of the same thing. Come see what's new from Dallas. We'll have some food and some celebration. So I'm not sure. I mean, what you described from the place in Libertyville, the two needle chicks, is really, you know, they seem to be really getting in the spirit of making a big celebration of it.
Right.
I think it's great. Anything you could do to make it exciting. Now, the interesting thing of the timing of it. So the needlework store that I refer to as my LNS, that I'll talk about like on my floss tube videos and everything, called Needleworkers Delight, located in Metuchen, New Jersey, they are predominantly in the cross stitch world. They do have some canvases. They certainly have some threads that would help anyone in the painted canvas world. They do have a lot of counted canvas, designers. They carry Debbie Raleigh designs, for example, and they certainly have blank canvas if you want to buy some 18 count or 13 count canvas and of all different colors and stuff. But they're predominantly cross stitch world, and there's a big cross stitch event going on this week that it's called Needlework Galleria. I think it's
yes.
Needlework Galleria in St. Charles, Missouri.
Right.
And so, like, they're going to be closed because they are going down there for that.
They're going to close? Oh, no.
They travel to shows because in addition to being a store where they sell all that stuff, they are also Silk Weaver Fabrics, which is the dyed fabric. And so they go mostly with their beautiful fabrics. I think also.
Oh, wait, back up the truck. They're the people who dye and sell Silk Weaver fabric?
Exactly. Yes.
Oh, that stuff's beautiful.
Yes. So
just say that stuff's beautiful?
Yeah. Worker's Delight is also Silk Weaver Fabrics. That's where it comes from. So when they go to shows, when they travel to shows, which they do, They are mostly bringing their Silk Weaver fabric. So they'll bring anything, you know, because I was asking them, do you guys bring anything else? And they said, well, we certainly don't bring patterns of anybody who's going to be there. You know, they won't bring, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but they won't bring any cross-stitch patterns of anybody that is going to be also an exhibitor at the show, okay? They won't bring any thread of anyone who's going to be an exhibitor at the show, but they might bring some other things to support, but they are there to sell fabric a lot of the times. So they drive down to, like, Needlework Galleria. They do a few shows each year as, you know, as the silk weaver fabric part of their business.
Mm-hmm.
So they aren't participating in local Needlepoint Shop Day because they are participating in Needlework Galleria, you know, this coming up week. Yeah.
I think this is a great idea, and I really hope it continues and gets converted into local Needlework Shop Day.
Yeah.
To encompass everything, because this could be, I mean, it could be a real nice fall kickoff event throughout the needlework world. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, when I first saw it, again, I think the first place I saw it was through the email newsletters of Knit One Stitch Two, which is in Pennington, New Jersey. The first gut reaction I had, not realizing it was more of a nationally encouraged event, my first thought was, oh, this is like what I hear cross-stitch stores do right after Nashville, you know, the bring back the new stuff and have a special day where every store does it, but, you know, have a special day where you show off the new stuff. That was my impression of what this potentially was or encouraging to be. And so, you know, it'd be nice if there was that kind of like encouraging support, especially if it's surrounding come back after a big show and show off some of the neat new things that you might have seen.
Yeah. You okay there, Arlene?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Sound like you fell off your chair and dropped your watch.
No.
No, I think it'd be, we need to have that. We need to have a meeting of the minds and have a day. This would be the day. September 20 every year is local needlework shop day for everybody.
Okay.
I think so. And that, the Galleria thing, Karen Kluba of Rosewood Manor.
Yes.
Oh boy, I love her designs.
Yeah.
On Facebook, she showed her car
because
she was heading to the Galleria thing. I don't quite know how she was going to get in it to drive it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that was going to happen.
I feel like I saw, was it Kitten Stitcher? I feel like I saw a picture maybe on Instagram. I think it was Kitten Stitcher, but I may not have that correct. But it's somebody else, another similar kind of thing of that she's packed up and ready to go. That's
And I was going to say St. Charles, because St. Charles outside of St. Louis, and our daughter lives in St. Louis, so have been to St. Charles and actually been there at Christmas time. What a beautiful town to be in at Christmas time. Just a neat little town. And I was going to say, you know, if you can go to that shop, you'll enjoy St. Charles. But anybody who can go there by car has probably already been to St. Charles. So I can't do a Chamber of Commerce thing. But you go to this Galleria, and I, from what I read, it's open to anyone.
Yeah.
So you can go there, but go, and then you can also enjoy St. Charles. So, Yeah. And there are from St. Louis on the way to St. Charles, as I recall, there are two or three wineries along the way that are quite nice, too. So you could make a nice weekend out of it if you wanted to.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
Not for me, but, you know, I need we need a winery that specializes in Diet Pepsi.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
See, then you could get me to go sit for an afternoon.
Okay. All right.
I'm just putting that out there as a thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just, you know, put it in your notes there, Arlene.
I'm putting it in the notes right now.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So then today we receive, and this sent Arlene down a rabbit hole.
Yes.
we receive from listener. Now I'm gonna ruin this name, but I'm gonna try. Sharon Normandu. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty close.
Okay.
A design from Peacock and Fig. Peacockandfig.com. So the peacock as in the bird, the word and fig as in the Fig Newton. Or mm-hmm. I guess it's a fruit, isn't it? Fig?
Yep.
Fruit?
Yep.
So peacockandfig.com. This design, be the villain in your story, stab something every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a design with some needles and some scissors. But yeah, that, and that'll be our picture for the week for this show.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So peacock, but I did not know about this Peacock and Fig. Dana Batho is the artist, designer, owner of Peacock and Fig.
Mm-hmm.
Did not know, but when I received this thing from Sharon Normandu, boy, I hope I got that right, because I think it sounds great the way I said it.
Yeah, I hope it's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I did not know about this Dana, but I'm going to have to see if we can get Dana to be on a show, because it looks like she has quite a story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of neat designs there. I kind of, but then you, I sent it to you, and you, you had to do some internet surfing.
Because I got all, so the whole idea of stabbing things, since you often are beginning the show talking about stabbing things. And I got stuck in remembering, and I feel like I'd seen it in more than one design, a particular phrase about, stabbing things that I could, you know, and so I was trying, how do you Google something that you only remember half of? And it's really an image. And then what are the words that I could put together? And I'm like, I'm looking on Facebook groups, but looking at the images of Facebook groups, which of course there's just way too many. I haven't seen it recently, but I definitely saw it multiple times in multiple places. And finally I just went to Google and like put in the few words that I could, Google Images, and put in the few words that I could come up with. And then it appeared. And there's a variety of designs that are out there. You could get cross-stitch designs. It wouldn't surprise me if somebody's done painted canvas of it, where it says, warning, this is proof that I have the patience to stab something 1,000 times. And if you think about what we do with our art, with our craft, with our hobby, we stab things an awful lot. So for some people, that just might be exactly what you need to do, is stitch something that says that phrase. So
yes.
Keep that in mind.
And I really got a chuckle out of you saying that you were doing searching, because you have to use the word stabbing.
Yeah.
And how do you keep that isolated to needlework? Because then immediately, I mean, I can just imagine what comes up the minute that word's put in. So,
yep.
Yeah. But you found it. Yes.
It's one of those satisfying feelings when you're trying to search for something that you only have like pieces of in your brain, and then you get it and you're so satisfied. Yes, this is what I was looking for. It's this phrase. It was this sentiment that I have seen again in even like a Google image search. You find it in different pattern designs, but that sentiment in various ways. So yes, I found it. I was excited.
Well done, Arlene. Well done.
Thank you.
You are an interweb genius.
Yeah. Not a lot of the time, but at least for that brief little moment, I was pleased.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. I have black work questions.
Okay. Well,
all right, and
another rabbit hole I went down when we were going back and forth a couple days ago. I went down a whole black work rabbit hole myself here. So fire away.
Right. Well, what stimulates the questions is the gorgeous, gorgeous design that you're working on right now, where you're doing white thread on that darker blue color.
Well, it's a silk weaver fabric that I'm actually using. So it's got some slight variegation to it. So yeah, it's a blue, it's like a dark Delft blue, I would almost call it. It's hard to get a good I've struggled getting good pictures of it, like getting the blue correct in pictures, whether I take it during the day or at night. I can't capture the color correctly. But yes, I love the way it looks in person. That blue with the white thread on it has been perfect in my mind.
Oh, that's a stunner. And Dark Delft Blue, I have their album.
Oh, that's not what they call it. They call it...
No, I do. I'm sure I have their album, like 1963, Dark Delft Blue.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Track sure. with me, Arlene. Track with me.
I'm a few seconds behind you. Please forgive me here.
Okay. Keep up. Keep up.
I'm trying.
But no, that's a beautiful, whatever color that is, it really is a nice color. There's a warmth to it.
Yes. For those who are interested, it is a silk weaver fabric that they call deep denim. And I'm doing it on a 40 count linen, whatever Zweigart 40 count is called, Newcastle or whatever that's 40 count linen of Zweigart that they dye is deep denim. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but now, all right, so Blackwork questions. And by the way, this design, Works by ABC, is Arlene's Etsy store, mm-hmm. ABC being Arlene's initials. But yeah. Yeah, if you want her designs, go there. So you got to get the plug in before
Thank
we, you know, on Etsy. And if you just go to her Floss Tubes, go to YouTube, just do Arlene Cohen. It's like the only one. How does that happen that... You can put in your name and you're the only one on the planet that has a YouTube channel. You know, think about that. Think about that.
I had not thought about that before, but now.
I don't know how that happens there's got to be more than one Arlene Cohen in the world.
Oh, there is. There absolutely is. There was a woman in the town where I grew up named Arlene Cohen, and I would, quote, run into her whenever... You know, at the pharmacy or at the dry cleaners, you know, anywhere where they have a computer system and all they had you was under names.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was two Arlene Cohens. But yes, anyway.
It's a very cool thing. That yes. You can just go to YouTube, put in Arlene Cohen, and you will get this Arlene right here, the one we're talking with right here. You follow any of her stuff and you will see that Works by ABC, still the best you've ever done is the handwritten card of the Works by ABC name, still the best.
Back up. The handwritten card
that has your name on it, your worksbyabc.com.
Yes.
The cardboard card.
The cardboard
that you hold up in your videos that have.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry again. I'm a few seconds behind you, Gary.
Holy smokes. Help this woman.
Okay. All right. Go in here. Yes. Yes. It's actually sitting right next to me as it still sits in my little pile right here. I haven't actually shown it on a video in a while, but it's sitting right here. It remains.
It must be used. It must be used.
Yes.
Oh, and by the way, in your last video, because mm-hmm. I watch all of your videos. Mm-hmm. In your last video, we had the reach over the head, hold up the cloth thing that Bendy is now famous for.
Yeah.
But see, you and I have that short arm problem. So you can't do that Bendy thing where it goes right over the top of your head with room to spare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, I can't do that either. It's got to kind of go in front of my forehead thing.
Yes.
Yeah, Bendy, that Michelle Garrett, she's got the whole deal going there. But you did it. I saw you do it. I was cheering for you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you had the face in the wrapped around arm and the fabric on the side. Yeah.
Yes. So, yeah. Now, referring to when I was showing the pattern that is in the Just Cross Stitch magazine now, correct?
Yes, yes.
And now that was a clip that I filmed 6 months ago, well before we've ever had the whole Bendy arm over the head holding fabric discussion. So now I'm so consciously aware of how I hold my arms and all of that piece. But, you know, that was ago. So
that was the precursor then.
Exactly. Very unaware.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. A look back in time. We got the precursor after the fact.
Yeah. Yes. So for those who are totally confused, if I may, Gary, just explain. So I have been designing for over a year now. I got a design accepted into Just Cross Stitch magazine, which is in the current issue right now, the what's listed as October 2018 issue. I designed and stitching on that back in the late winter time, and literally right before I mailed it off in March, I filmed a little clip just to be able to show the piece, a little up close to be able to talk about it, then put it in a box and mailed it off to Just Cross Stitch. And I saved that clip for when there would be a floss tube, when the magazine was actually out and I could, you know, show that picture of the magazine and then be able to actually talk about the design, which I couldn't talk about until it was out in the magazine. So it was literally filmed 6 months ago. So that, to give you all the backstory of what Gary and I are just talking about right there. So there we go.
Wow. This is just kind of eerie. It's kind of Terminator like in that we went back in time in the present.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So there we have it. The precursor to the bendy hold over the head around the side thing. Excellent. Mm-hmm. And nobody does it like bendy.
No.
You got to go watch the Michelle Garrett floss tube videos to see that happen. It's mm-hmm. it's a sight to behold. So back to the black work. So you have this design. Now take me through this design, because I think that what you're doing is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it's it has intrigued me about black work. I find black work intriguing in the first place, but uh-huh. the design you're doing has really piqued my interest. So take me through how that came about.
So I have a couple of large pieces that I've done in black work that there's the name is Leon Conrad. He was a designer. I'm going to say was in the past tense, and that I don't think he still designs. I have no reason to believe he isn't still alive. But anyway, and that was my first introduction to black work. When would I have done those? A good 10, 15 years ago, maybe even. And I love the beauty of that. And those were sort of the very traditional white cloth with black thread. And it became a style that I was intrigued with, learning more about the history and the designs of it. And what I've realized that even the terminology, there's so much variation on what black work really is and can be. If you were to look, as I know you have recently acquired the Royal School of Needlework book of, what do they call it, book of techniques or something, and the whole chapter, which comes from a whole entire book on black work, there are some black work pieces, including these two old original ones that I did, these Leon Conrad designs, that are very much about a filling pattern that is just a beautiful geometric fill in the inside with this beautiful geometric shape. There is also a more, I'm going to say, modern take on black work, where you use the filling patterns with either different different types of threads, or different amounts of how much of a repeating pattern you use to create this amazing dimension and shading. And I know the Royal School's Blackwork book does a lot of this. I've done a little bit of that kind of blackwork. So there was a design that I did, a pattern that was a ANG, American Needlepoint Guild, workshop by mail, which was a flowers that was a little bit of learn a little bit more about how to do that kind of shading and then do it by using it in that pattern. So I've always just been intrigued about the different ways that black work can be done. There are, and the other piece about it is the recognition that just by its name, black work does not limit you to using black thread. Like, you have to just get over that. The name black work is a little bit more associated with the style and not limiting you to the color.
Yeah, because can we safely say that today black work is essentially a solid background and a single color of contrasting thread? Is that safe to say?
I wouldn't even say necessarily a single color.
Oh, okay.
I I would say it's more about the stitches are made up of, I'm about to take back what I was about to say. It's the stitching of black work tends to be more straight stitches, meaning not tending to be cross stitches. It tends to be what cross stitchers would say, oh, it's just like doing the back stitching of a cross stitch design. So just like the straight stitches that you would do on a piece of linen or Aida or what have you. That said, you could do that in all different colors. You could do that in, there's a piece that I did, that gave this away a long time ago, and it was like I'll call it a sampler. It had, I don't know how many blocks total. It included 26 blocks for the letters of the alphabet. And each letter had a different, like, filling, what you would call it, a different style, a different filling. And I think I alternated between four different colors, just, you know, going through the layers of the alphabet. There might have been a couple of corners. It might have been 28 blocks total. I'm not sure how. I don't remember exactly how the design filled it in. But one thing I loved is that I don't think I used the original colors that the pattern had called for in the pattern, but the pattern did call for it in colors. And I just loved the look of it, that it wasn't all one color. Each block was its own color, but yeah, overall there were different colors that were brought into the piece. That said, I think there's something beautiful when it's all done in one color. So like the piece that I'm doing right now, that I certainly wanted to do it all in one color, in white. I wanted to mimic it to be lace. But you could easily take the piece that I'm doing and break up the components of it and say this part would be done in this color and this part would be done in that color, and you would have a equally, you know, a different look, but equally beautiful. You know, it would just be different. So in my designing of it, I talked about this on my floss tube, that the inspiration for that came from a piece, a fillet lace, which is a type of lace making, but it, you can find pieces like in antique shops and stuff. They almost might look like crochet lace unless you know what you're looking at, because it's definitely not made with a crochet needle. It's made with a traditional needle. A tablecloth that I found, and I just loved the design of it, the layout of it, and I knew that I could do something with that. And it was the kind of thing that I thought, I could do more than just one thing with this. I could certainly turn this into a cross stitch pattern, but I wanted to do something more. So I did two things with it. I created a cross stitch pattern, and I also created a blackwork pattern. Now, the original thinking I had didn't actually work out. I had wanted to take the elements, a flower here, a different type of flower there, and sort of do the basic outline of a petal in the center area, and then do some of the filling stitches that allow for some of the dimension of blackwork. What ended up happening is that I didn't even have enough room, enough space to do much in the way of filling stitches. I could totally be inspired to a totally different design, but if I was just sticking exactly with what this was, that basic outline of that flower or this whatever, the outline was enough. And when I was first playing around with it, I started to do a filling, and it became too busy. It was almost completely covered in thread. I was like, you know what? What I'm basically doing, and I'm calling it black work, is basically if you were to do the design and cross stitch and then outline everything, it's almost like that's what I'm doing in what I'm calling black work. There's a little variation to it. There's some places where that's not exactly what I'm doing, but that's in effect what I've done in designing this as a black work piece. It's all straight stitches. It's all, except in a certain area, what became the best filling was actually some small areas of cross stitches, but staggered, not all clumped together. And it has exactly the look that I was hoping it would have, that anyone who would do the pattern. So I have the pattern two different ways. Anyone who does the pattern in cross stitch is going to have the same general look of there's that flower, there's that, but it's going to have a totally different look because it's more filled in. It's more of what a cross stitch would look like. And yet I'm fully aware that if you were to, you know, go on any you know, any website that's selling designs and put in black work, you will see the variety of what black work can be. It could be very geometrical. You know, here's a square that's been broken up into eight, you know, quadrants or eight triangles or whatever, and each triangle has a different filling, and you could do all kinds of neat geometric things with that. Or here's a pattern of a flower, and using all these different shading techniques, you can get some amazing looking flower petals that come from that. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about black work. When I, way back in one of my early floss tubes, when I showed those big black work pieces that I had done, some people led me down the hole of Liz Allman. Her website is called Black Work Journey. And man, is that an amazing website. She sells some patterns. She also has quite a lot of freebies. And what I learned, I had not known this before then. I thanked everyone who shares everything that they do in this needlework world, is the one of the huge freebies, meaning large size freebies, she was offering, she called Save the Stitches. And it's a very large pattern. It was broken down into pieces. I forget how many. By the time I was looking at it, it was all the pieces of it. And I've seen a few different finished versions of that. Some people posted pictures online. When I was at StitchCon, there was one, somebody had a finished version of Save the Stitches there. It's just a beautiful, like, sampler of black work pieces. And I loved the look of it. And I feel like more than one person has said in a floss tube video, which I just is interesting. I hate back stitching and cross stitch, but I like doing black work. It doesn't make any sense, but it is. And, you know, I don't have a problem with doing back stitching and cross stitch. So I don't quite relate to that statement, but at the same time, I think when you're just doing the straight stitches, it brings out a different beauty in what you're doing.
It's amazing what can be done with just different thicknesses of thread and these very basic stitching. Mm-hmm. I have a black work piece that I got somewhere along the way that I've pulled out two or three times and thought I'd give it a whirl and just wasn't really sure. And so that was why I wanted to ask you about it. So number one, is Liz Allman probably the best starting spot, or do you have a favorite black work book? Is it a Royal School book? And then the other question is, you mentioned, I think it was, you referenced your floss tube video 15, I think it was, where you talked about this. And you said that I went back and looked at that video again, because I have watched every single one of your videos. But I went and watched that again, and you said that you had gone through the exercises before stitching that. So then I wanted to ask you, is that anybody who's never done black work, then to find a series of little doodle cloth-like exercises is a valuable thing before you actually start a piece. Is that right? Can I say that?
Well, so it depends on what kind of...
I don't want to hear depends. I don't know. It's yes or no.
No, because, I mean, I would want to see what piece it is that you have in front of you, that you've just mentioned, or what kind of black work appeals to you. Because if you could see, which you could because you've watched all my videos, the two big Leon Conrad pieces that I've done, the black work in there is not about shading at all. It's not about shading. It's about using, I mean, there's two different thicknesses of black thread, but you know, he said, use this thickness there and that thickness there. There's no decision making on my part. Okay. So the beauty of those pieces is about the geometric layout of the patterns. Okay. What I referenced and showed in that number 15 and the piece I was talking about, that was the first time I was doing black work that involved shading. And the little exercises that were a part of that was intended to practice the idea of, if you've got a little repeat of a pattern, that to show off the lightest part of it, you might only do part of the pattern with the narrow, finest thread. And then you might use the next finest thread and do a little bit more of that pattern. And then the next one with the more of the pattern. Finally, till you get to the thickest thread with the most complexity to that repeating pattern. And by using all variations within that, that's where you get the black work shading part. So there are some designs that when I first started doing some black work pieces, I had no idea that was a part of what black work could be. I thought it was all charted designs, because what I knew was, again, these Leon Conrad, I think Laura J. Perrin has black work. She definitely has black work designs. I'm trying to think other designers that have black work designs that are these beautiful things. And like, you're not making any kind of, shall we say, artistic decisions about with what thickness of thread, when do I switch over? When do I put in a little more thickness there or a little less thickness there? And that might be the extent of what, you know, anyone who loves that Save the Stitches piece that is on Liz Allman's site. Without having explored every single part of her site, I'm not sure if she does anything with the shading parts of black work. Hers might literally be all of the, here's a chart, follow the pattern, you get beautiful geometric pieces, and that might be all the black work you'll ever want to explore. But if you have the Royal School of Needlework book, they're showing in that book some amazing things that are done with shading that I just find so intriguing. I also referenced to you, there's a, and I showed this in a video at one point, Inspirations Magazine, there's a particular issue that I have, there's a particular design that so intrigues me, and it's a black work piece, and it would, to do it definitely involves a lot of artistic decisions in this place. What thickness of thread should this be? How much of the pattern should I do in this place in order to get the full image? In this case, it's a rose. That's not about just make a geometric design. It's about a lot more, artistic decisions. So there really is like two categories of black work almost. So that's why I want to say it depends. It depends on whether you want to do the shading of black work artistically in that way, or if you love the geometric things that the geometric patterns the Alhambra from Spain, that there's so many amazing black work designs that have been inspired by that, all the patterns that come from that place, you know, things like that. So that's why I'm curious, the one pattern or design that you have, what is it that you have that makes you think that is black work? And then, you know, that's where I would say, you know, the whole little thing with exercises, you might have no interest in that, or at least not at this time.
Well, I'm going to do it someday. I mean, I know it's black work because it says it right on the cover.
Okay.
No, this one is some kind of a butterfly, and it's shaded. It's definitely the shaded variety.
Okay.
Because there are two or three different thread thicknesses, and it's the whole thing, and that appeals to me.
Uh-huh.
But they both appeal to me. I just like the simplicity of it, and to me the challenge, because if you do it right, if I understand it correctly, if you do black work right, it basically becomes a reversible piece. The back should be almost as clean as the front.
You're making an assumption.
No?
You're making an assumption of what the word right is. You know, that's so that brings in a historical thing. Black work, like the history, the go back to Elizabethan times or King Henry VIII or whatever the appropriate century is. There was a point, and you could see it like in the paintings of certain eras, where you see on cuffs and on collars, you can see black work. And it was like when lace was either not allowed or hard to come by. And so fine embroidery, black work, that was done on cuffs and collars. That was times when you did want, when it was highly prized, to be completely reversible. How much nowadays is important for it to be reversible? Well, who cares? I mean, unless you're making something that needs to be reversible. There is something to be said that you wouldn't want to carry threads if you were doing, you know, black thread on white cloth. there certainly are ways to watch your path when you're doing, you know, the path of thread that you're taking and reverse the path back so that in theory it could be completely reversible. But I would not say that completely reversible would have to in any way fall under the category of doing it right. Unless, of course, you were making like a cuff or something that it needed to be seen from both sides. To me, that's another fascinating part about black work is that it's got this history behind it, that there's this, you know, centuries old history and how it does have a connection with lace, which, as you know, is another one of my interests. You do not, especially the shading kinds these days, you don't need to, I don't know. Too many. I'm not claiming to be an expert here, but I can't say that I worry about a reversible back in anything that I'm doing black work, including the piece I'm working on now. You know, the back of that is like the backs of any of my pieces. I strive to keep things neat and tidy, but nothing crazy. I don't go nuts over that.
Okay. Well, that helps me because to me, with all that stitching that is really open, mm-hmm. Straight lines for the most part, to begin and end threads is almost intimidating. Mm-hmm. If you don't want, you know, if you have to be almost reversible, because I thought that was the expectation, but if that's not, that at least takes a little of the intimidation away from it. Because, mm-hmm. The stitches are nothing. It's not like it's a fancy stitch of any kind. But to do them the way you get the effect, to do them well and precisely, mm-hmm. is got to be everything.
Yep.
All those little straight lines and to make it all come together, because if you get sloppy with that, you lose all your all the continuity, I guess, or all of the impact. Because, and that's what appeals to me, I think, more than anything is – In my mind, it's a comparison, you know, whatever else we would stitch, cross stitch, needlepoint, whatever. This is, to me, kind of like the black and white version. In that you don't have a bunch of colors and a bunch of different stitches to distract the eye. Mm-hmm. You just have these solid lines, and executed well, it all comes together as an image, like that rose you mentioned in Inspiration. It all comes together as an image, but you can immediately see that if it's not done, if it's done with a degree of sloppiness, you would lose that beauty in a hurry.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so to me, immediately I'm intrigued by that, in that there is a challenge in some very simple things that done right, done well, will deliver a beautiful piece. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, there comes a little skill, a little practice, and just focus on the quality of your stitches. Mm-hmm. And so it's appealing, and you get some of those black work pieces. I mean, they're stunning, like that, mm-hmm. that rose in Inspiration. That's just stunning. You just sit there and go, wow, they did that all with black thread? That's pretty good.
Well, and to me, the additional stunning piece to this rose is that the shading of it is done completely by the variations of thread. It is not done, like a lot of the shaded pieces that you see, like in the Royal School Book, it's the combination of variations of thread and pattern. The rose, the pattern is consistent all the way through. They did not use, you know, part of the pattern for the lighter areas and more stitching for the darker areas. It is the same pattern all the way through. It is just varying the thread. And that is like a phenomenal level of skill to get that kind of shading. Whereas, again, I'm just, because I have it in front of me, that Royal School Book, they're able to do a little bit more because they're varying pattern and thread. That's just the stunner of this rose. Like, that's, you know, someday I'm going to do it. I'm going to try it. Well, but, you know, one of the challenges that I had with it is that the threads that they refer to are just not, there's not equivalents to be found in the U.S. And trying to, I mean, it's just a matter of finding, like, because it's all about finding the right threads and the right variation between the different thicknesses. And so if I feel like I could get the right thicknesses in my hands, I got to do it. Got to give it a try.
Yeah. Because, yeah, that's the thing. Like the design you're doing that with DMC floss, that ultra bright white.
Yep.
Whatever number that is. Yeah.
Yeah. And that, and again, and that the design that I have, it's not about shading at all. It may, it, its effect, I think, is beautiful just because of the design, the overall design that again comes from this, you know, thing that I got at an antiques show.
Right. Yeah. You're creating a lace look.
Exactly.
And using that technique to give a lace look as opposed to a dimensional piece.
Exactly.
And that to me, that's another part that I think is really fun about black work, is that you can achieve different looks and different types of designs. Mm-hmm. And all you're using is solid color, one color of thread. I mean, that's fun.
I think that that probably was one of the things that just so appealed to me when I first like discovered it, or first thing I ever saw. I couldn't even tell you what the first time I ever saw it, but was like, wow, this is really neat. This is different. This is, you could get such a different visual look, even though you're only using one thread, or just how visually beautiful one fabric color and one thread can look. Whatever the design might be, and just where you can take that and what you're doing with it is just amazing. So I just think there's all kinds of potential in the black work world, and you know, I want to keep playing with it. Absolutely.
And you know, this discussion here, yeah, there was somebody posted today that they'd lost their stitchy mojo or stitchy bug or whatever, you know, whatever it is, whatever you call it. Doesn't matter. Lost interest, basically, in stitching. And every now and then you see people say, you know, I just really don't, I've lost interest. I don't feel like it. Nothing appeals to me. Mm-hmm. And every time I think, well, go try something else.
Yes.
Because you could sit down off the top of your head and make a lengthy list of different types of stitching. And so, okay, I'm really tired of needlepoint. You know, I just, nothing excites me anymore. I don't want to do one more Jessica as long as I live, you know, that kind of a thing. Go pick up a blackwork piece.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, go pick up a cross stitch piece.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what's so fun about this, is when you get the basic techniques down, to transfer them to different types of stitching is not that difficult.
Absolutely.
And yeah, go find a new vein of enthusiasm with a different technique. And that's what's so cool about that Royal Needlework Society, Royal School of Needlework. I always want to call them the Royal Needlework Society, but Royal School of Needlework, that book is, that's all it is a compilation of techniques. And you can go through that thing and, hey, I think I'll try that this week. And mm-hmm. and a lot of things like black work, you don't have to invest in a lot of threads.
Nope.
I mean, nope. You've got a piece of linen and some white DMC floss.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all you have.
Absolutely.
And when people see that, it really is beautiful, the combination and that lace effect is really working.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really quite simple. And that's, you know, I just think it, for some, if you really lost your enthusiasm for what you're doing, there's just a whole list of other ones. And black work is one of them that I really, yeah. Yeah. How big is that piece? How big is that going to finish out?
It will. So I'm doing it on 40 count over two. And frankly, I'm only doing it that size because at that size, it's going to be, it's a round piece and it'll be 18 inches in diameter.
Holy smokes.
I'm only killing my eyes on it on 40 count because, you know, on 40 count, it's 18 inches. So if I had done 36 or 32, you know, it's that much bigger. So I decided, all right, I'll go with 40 just to, and also, you know, 40 count with one strand was fine. And I could have gotten away with 36 with one strand easily also. But yeah, so 18 inches in diameter is what it will be. So yeah, it's a big piece. I knew that as I started, like, and I was doing it out in circles. And truthfully, it is the kind of design that you could do a ring, I should say, a ring of it and say, you know, this is beautiful as it is. I'm going to stop right here.
Right.
Or you could do one ring and say, you know what, that's good enough. Or you could keep going and, you know, do the entire thing. So, as designed, as charted, 18 inches on 40 count, and that's over two. So yeah, it's a big one.
It's a design. You can look at that design and you can see, you know, like you said, you can do an inner ring and then the next one or whatever, but there are also pieces, segments that you could easily pull out and make into their own design. I think it's neat in that regard. But I think that's kind of a cool thing about a lot of lace is you can pull out those little sections and make a full needlework design out of that without any trouble at all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I just looked at the clock.
Yeah. We've been going for a long time, haven't we?
We're going to have to stop.
Yeah.
But holy smokes.
I enjoy chatting with you. This is always a lot of fun.
Yes. Thoroughly enjoyed it to the point where I didn't even watch the clock. Look at that. Good for us.
Yeah.
Fun stuff. Okay, we got to stop.
Okay.
Patty Hoffman, owner of the Stitch Stash local needlework store, is our guest Sunday. Had a fun conversation with Patty about starting a store. She started from scratch and what she went through and what she's going through. The store is 2 months old, 3 months old. So she's a fresh one. And it really interesting to hear what it's like and what the mental processes she went through to start her store. So Patty is Sunday. And Arlene, thank you so much. This was great. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Anytime. I really enjoy chatting with you, Gary. It's a lot of fun.
Same here. Arlene Cohen, just go to YouTube and put Arlene Cohen in and she'll show up. And then on Etsy, Works by ABC. And watch her floss tube videos because you'll learn something every time. Yep.
Well, thank you.
A little history.
I try.
A little something. And she's still the best at looking above, below, and around anything she's showing. Still the best.
Well, she's on 30-inch scroll bars now, so it's been causing me lots of challenges, but I'm working on it.
But it's so much fun to watch you do it.
Yes.
All right, we're out. Thanks, Arlene. Patty Hoffman Sunday, and Christine and I will be back next Wednesday. Thanks for listening.
All right, take care.